Considering the long-term drought we've experienced here in the Southwest and how levels have lowered dramatically in Lake Mead and Lake Powell, it may be hard to believe that in the early 1980s, Powell almost overflowed and nearly caused monumental damage to Glen Canyon Dam. That was thanks to the most powerful El Nino that had been documented to that point. John Deanna, senior reporter for the Arizona Republic, did a deep dive on the incident, owing at least in part to his decades-long interest in the dam, thanks to the Edward Abbey novel, The Monkey Wrench Gang. John, we don't have time to cover every detail of this intense situation at Glen Canyon Dam, so we'll start somewhere in the middle. There are these items called spillway gates, and they're used to help release some water to keep the dam's pressure from getting too high, and there was an overwhelming amount of rising water. As you tell it in your story, the engineers were releasing water at a rate equivalent to 450 swimming pools per second. And then something else that was alarming happened. So what did Tom Gamble, the dam's operations manager, tell you about that?
Tom Gamble tells me that he's standing on a platform watching the water cascade down, and they start hearing these ominous rumblings coming from deep within the infrastructure of the dam. And it turns out it was something that was happening in the spillway gates. They had no idea what was going on, so they shut the spillway gates.
But was there genuine concern, though, at that point of anyone that maybe the dam was going to break?
The engineers never believed the dam was going to break. There were some alarmists who, and even in hindsight, you know, wrote that the dam was inches away from failing and creating a massive catastrophe. They shut down the spillway gates when they heard these rumblings, and they brought in a special team of engineers from the Bureau of Reclamation's Western headquarters in Denver. They flew into Page and headed straight down into the tunnels.
Yeah, you have to describe it. You describe it so well in your piece about the engineer who went down in. What did they set him up in? And then he starts reaching, they seen cracks and holes. And
the spillways are angled at 55 degrees. And so there's not really a way to go down it safely just on your own. So they have a special cart made out of steel on wheels. And they slowly lowered it down this 55 degree incline. With the engineer strapped inside wearing all kinds of foul weather gear because, you know, it's a spillway. There's a lot of water in there. As he gets down there, he starts seeing these progressively larger holes in the concrete. And this was from a process known as cavitation. And it's a pretty technical process, but I can describe it to you briefly. When you have water cascading at a rapid rate, in this case, the water going down the spillway was moving at about 100 miles an hour, and if it hits a bump or an obstruction, it will create a vacuum. And when that vacuum breaks, it creates a shockwave. And so when you've got millions and millions of gallons of water hitting that bump over and over and over again with millions of vacuums creating and breaking, that's millions of shockwaves. And pretty soon it starts wearing a hole in the concrete. And as the water continues to cascade down, the new hole becomes a new obstruction. And then that creates more vacuums further down the pipe, and then more holes and more and bigger holes. And so you get this like cascading stair step of holes that are progressively larger. And finally, he got so far down that the holes were too big to get the cart through. So he had to come back up. So he knew what was happening. It was cavitation. And he made the recommendation that they close the spillways to prevent further damage. So they came up with this plan.
It was like hurricane season in the dam, it sounds like.
Exactly. And so they sent a bunch of folks out to round up all the angle iron they could find, and then they sent another team out to round up all the marine-grade plywood they could find. And they built these structures on top of the spillway gates that essentially raised them by 4 feet, and they were holding back Lake Powell with plywood. That, to me, is just – it's astonishing to this day. Strangely enough, it held. But for days and days and days, the water kept coming, more and more water every day. It kept rising, and they eventually had to turn the 4x8 sheets. They had to turn them on their sides and make it 8 feet of plywood holding back Lake Powell, which they did. And but then they decided, you know, at some point we're just gonna there's just too much of a threat of catastrophe if this water tops the dam. So they decided that they would open the spillway gates a little bit and take the risk that the water would do some damage, but not totally devastate the spillways.
And then after a number of days, there was an assessment of sorts. So what happened next, John?
They decided to close the spillways, check the damage. They found a lot of damage, but they decided to keep releasing water through the spillways. Another threat was that in these spillways were created by using the diversion tunnels that had been built to allow the river to go around the dam as it was being constructed. Those diversion tunnels were then plugged with these massive plugs of concrete. They were, I think, 150 feet long and, again, 40 feet in diameter. And so they worried that those plugs could eventually erode. And if those failed, then there would be just no way to control the release of the water coming out from the bottom of Lake Powell down the river. And it would essentially drain Lake Powell with no way to stop it. And Glen Canyon Dam would be standing there like some giant 700-foot tall tooth with nothing around it.
Wow.
The engineers saved the day, and they were able to prove that man, at least in this instance, was able to control nature.
Is there a concern that even with the levels we're at now, that this history could be repeated potentially?
What happened with that El Nino was known as a black swan event. It was something that is so unimaginable, like you never see a black swan, but you never see one until you see one. And in 1983, that was a black swan event. This year, we had rising water levels for reversing a almost 20 years of 20-year trend of dropping water levels. And there was a recent report issued by a research group that said, yes, we've been primarily focused on drought, but what we really need to focus on with as a result of climate change is just these bizarre weather events that could happen. They've happened before, and they definitely could happen again.
John Deanna, senior reporter for the Arizona Republic. Good to see you. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.